To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This is a true crime in real-time update from the On Deadline podcast. This week, we're focusing on two crimes. One happened around this time last year, the killing of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson in broad daylight as he walked down a Manhattan street. It was followed by a manhunt and the eventual arrest of Luigi Mangione, now 27 years old. This case continues to unfold in the courtroom. That's where Mangione was this week, as his legal team works to get evidence tossed out. Stakes are high for the alleged killer, who has developed a bit of a fan base. He's potentially facing the death penalty if convicted. We'll return to Mangione's story later in the show. First, we'll cover another murder by firearm that happened last week, just before Americans were heading out and getting ready to celebrate Thanksgiving. After a gunman opened fire on National Guard members stationed in Washington, D.C., West Virginia Army National Guard Specialist Sarah Beckstrom, just 20 years old, died. President Donald Trump announced her death on Thanksgiving night. As of this Friday, the other victim, Air Force Staff Sergeant Andrew Wolf of the West Virginia National Guard, was, quote, slowly healing, according to West Virginia Governor Patrick Morrissey. This Tuesday, the Department of Justice said 29-year-old Ramanala Lakhanwal, an Afghan national living in Bellingham, Washington, had been charged with murder in the case. Before we get into the alleged killer's history, here's Jason DeRusha with WCCO Radio in Minneapolis reporting on the tragedy in real time.
The guardsmen were members of the West Virginia National Guard. The gunman is in custody, officials saying within the last hour it looks like he acted alone. What is the response of the White House? More National Guards men and women being ordered to Washington in response. The National Guard has been in D.C. as part of a federal takeover of the police department there in response to rising crime rates. At least that's what the White House has said. Earlier today, the governor of West Virginia said that both guardsmen have been killed. That statement has been backtracked. We hope that these guardsmen make it.
Yeah.
But my goodness, we got to be more careful in getting
that's a big oops.
Yeah. Yeah.
DeRusha also discussed the tragedy as part of a broader tapestry of violence in the U.S., and in the context of the Trump administration's move to station National Guard members at various U.S. cities as part of a plan to crack down on crime.
So many thoughts for me, because on the one hand, you have this scourge of violence, this anger, this sort of political rancor, these weirdos and losers who have spent the last 5 years in their basement with no friends, nothing but radical, angry, lonely internet chat groups, Discord servers. There's such a web of anger out there. And it's hard to have hope. It's hard to have hope that we can figure out a way to pull people out of this darkness. And I refuse to accept it, to just accept that this is going to be the way of life. This is what we can expect a couple times a month. Some citizen soldier today, maybe tomorrow it's going to be a police officer. Maybe it'll be a teacher. Maybe it'll be a lawmaker. I mean, you look at this year in our state, in Minnesota, we have seen the outpouring of angry losers. And I say that not because, you know, you're a loser because you murdered someone.
Mm-hmm.
But I really do believe that we have a major problem, especially with men in America who have grown increasingly isolated, increasingly lonely. We have so many ways to con ourselves into thinking that we aren't alone. So we go deep and deep on whatever topic that draws us in. We get stranger. We get more isolated. We get more radical. And ultimately, I think the rest of us have a little bit of a responsibility to try to see if we can jolt these people out of this. Because no amount of gun control, no amount of mental health services, all the usual things that we always talk about. I just don't know that that is the difference maker. Now, the other part of the frustration for me is the fact that there really is no reason for the West Virginia National Guard to be deployed in Washington, D.C. The West Virginia National Guard is deployed because President Donald Trump said he was going to clean up Washington, D.C., deal with the safety in Washington, D.C. In August, the local police force there was federalized, and eight different states sent National Guard troops into Washington, D.C. And it's hard not to think. Now, maybe whatever caused this suspect to go do this, this person would have done it with somebody else. I don't know. Soldiers have been out there patrolling neighborhoods, train stations, other locations. They've also been on the National Mall. They've been guarding sport events. It's been all sorts of stuff. To me, it's had nothing to do with regular crime in Washington, D.C., which was the stated reason for why we're calling the National Guard up. And so when you have the governor of West Virginia saying these brave West Virginians lost their lives in service of their country, it's 100% true. But it does make me in this immediate kind of aftermath think, like, did they need to be there? Just kind of processing this stuff.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In the days following the shooting, more information has come out about Lacanwal. While the president indicated that the alleged shooter wasn't vetted as he entered the U.S. with others fleeing the Taliban in Afghanistan when former President Joe Biden was in office back in 2021, factcheck.org from the Annenberg Policy Center noted that reports have revealed that Lacanwal actually went through an extensive vetting process to work with the CIA in Afghanistan before he ever came to the U.S. A former top counterterrorism official in the Department of Homeland Security under Biden, and now a national security contributor for CBS News, said on Face the Nation that Lacanwal would have been vetted over a decade ago for that work. Marty Griffin of KDKA Radio in Pittsburgh brought in an expert to help dive deeper into the alleged killer's work with the CIA this week. They also talked about the significance this work might have on the National Guard shooting case.
The role of the National Guard has changed as the military has evolved. It's all volunteer. And then during war times, there were men and women in the National Guard with families, four kids and butler, who were fighting in Afghanistan. And it's not what they expected. And thousands were killed. But they're in a war. It's very hard for me to wrap my arms around, A, seeing members of the National Guard just standing around on city streets, and B, to in horror watch the video of this man who killed a National Guard member and seriously wounded another, shot him point blank in the head in D.C. last week, Wednesday. And then it got closer to home. Sarah Beckstrom, 20 years old, is dead. Told her boyfriend she didn't like the commitment in cities. Told her boyfriend she didn't feel comfortable doing that job in D.C. Told her ex-boyfriend that she didn't think it was the role for the National Guard. And she's dead. And now here we are. The second critically injured National Guard member, also from West Virginia, is in very critical condition. And most people are deeply concerned that he could pass too. It raises serious questions about should they be there. And forget about politically. Let's talk about training and strategy and weaponry with the man who knows this stuff, Ron Layton, who served four presidents in the Secret Service and is one of the premier inside experts in security on Earth. My man, I went to you because you know weapons and you know strategy and you know tactics. Do National Guard members like this 20-year-old young woman, are they prepared to be where they were when they were shot in the head?
So, Marty, there's so many aspects to this particular problem. Number one, I do need to say this. This guy that they said was vetted and was radicalized in the United States and committed this heinous act, Marty, he was on a CIA hit team for 8 years.
Whoa. What does that mean? Wow.
So first of all, when we were in Afghanistan, I told you, and you've heard me talk over the course of the last, I don't know, 8 months or so, about resources and money, because that's what it takes to run an agency effectively.
Yes, sir.
We spent $315 million a day, every day, for 20 years in Afghanistan. So some of that money went to the CIA. And what the CIA does, I've told you before, they are different. They are not cops. They're intelligence people, and they do very different work. It is meaningful work, but it is unusual. One of the things that they did was they set up a paramilitary organization for the express purpose of going after high-value Taliban targets.
Oh, wow.
He was part of a squad, and there's nothing in the United States law enforcement kind of lexicon that does this, other than maybe high-risk warrant services. But this is not what they were doing. They were identifying high-risk Taliban targets, going to their houses, and quite frankly, these were capture and kill missions. Take the capture out of it.
He was an assassin.
So he did this for 8 years. Well, part of the group that did that, for sure. He did this for 8 years. And now all of a sudden, he shows up in this country. And the reason that you do that kind of work, the behind the scenes kind of inside baseball here, is that if you worked in that Zero Squad, that was the immediate ticket to the United States.
Oh.
That's one of the reasons that you did it.
Oh.
Because you couldn't stay there because the Taliban would come and kill your family, as you can imagine. And guess who's in charge of Afghanistan now? The Taliban.
Taliban. Oh, yeah.
So that's why he was able to get into this country. It's kind of like saying, you do this for us, we'll do this for you. So that piece of it needs to be talked about.
Are you implying that he's a ticking bomb as a result of that 8 years of killing people?
Marty, you can't do that kind of work and be fine.
Right,
you just
on.
Can't be.
Working
so,
at Wendy's. Right,
here's the other thing, too. This is much more, you know, they're using the word radicalization. This is much more PTSD, mental illness.
Wow. You snapped.
Much more of that.
He could have been having a flashback. You know, he could have been having a relapse. He could have thought he was in Afghanistan. Who the hell knows, right?
So the reason that I don't like snap is because snap makes you think, oh, it just happened. No, this is a process, a steady decline. And if you look at what people said about him, it's all the classic signs of PTSD. He started to have nightmares. He's reported to have really almost abandoned his children. His wife reported that when she was out of town, the kids wouldn't get showers, wouldn't get fed, show up at school without, you know. Point is that he was detaching from reality, and this is classic PTSD that, quite frankly, we see in our own military.
Yes, sir.
This is not radicalization in the way that Americans think of
it.
That's my point.
Yes, sir.
Wolf, the victim who survived the shooting, was beginning to, quote, look like himself heading into the weekend, according to the West Virginia governor. His family expects him to be in acute care for about 2 to 3 weeks. Now we'll pivot to Luigi Mangione's trial in New York. Here's a Thursday report on the court proceedings from Linda Lopez at 1010 Winds in New York.
It's been a year since the shooting death of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson, and today his accused killer in court for a hearing about evidence in the case. Our Juliet Papa following the story. She joins us now live.
And Linda, the rookie cop who assisted in the arrest of Luigi Mangione is now on the witness stand. Tyler Fry and his partner were called to the McDonald's in Altoona, Pennsylvania, when customers there told the manager they thought the person ordering breakfast looked like the gunman being sought in New York for the murder of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson. Now, you have to recall that the picture of the suspect was disseminated far and wide after that Midtown shooting on December 4th, just a year ago. Now, Mangione had given them a fake driver's license. They removed his backpack, a backpack that contained a gun, and his writings critical of the healthcare industry. Mangione's lawyers are trying to get those tossed from the case.
For more on this, we're checking back in with Jason DeRusha from WCCO. He spoke to Joe Tamburino, owner of Tamburino Law Group, about what's going on in the courtroom and the approach that Mangione's legal team is taking.
Luigi Mangione has been in court all week, sort of over this effort to suppress a bunch of evidence that police got through a search that either was or wasn't lawful. Give us a sense, you know, this is sort of the poison pill theory, right? Like,
yeah.
if the fruit of the search was, you know, unlawful, then the whole thing goes away. Is that what they're trying to do?
Right. Very good. It's the fruit of the poisonous tree. So what they're saying is that when he was approached in that McDonald's a year ago, basically, and the police came up to him, Altoona, Pennsylvania, I think it was, they didn't read him, you know, his rights, and then they searched his backpack. Now, you know, what you have to look at, and I think this is what the judge will look at, is, okay, well, when should they have read Miranda to him? And now the defense is arguing, well, they should have read it as soon as they grabbed him by the arm and put him in cuffs. Right. Pretty good argument. However, even after that, you know, Mr. Mangione really didn't say much. I mean, so even if there was some type of Miranda violation, there really wasn't that was anything gained by that. There really weren't any type of smoking gun statements. The bigger one is going to be whether the search of his backpack is constitutional. I think Mangione is going to lose that only because the circumstances surrounding it, I think the government's going to be easily proven that, yes, this was a search incident to arrest. And additionally, they had probable cause that there was some type of contraband in his backpack.
So that's the issue where Mangione, and this is relevant to any of our listeners, if you ever were pulled over, you know, does law enforcement need a warrant to search your backpack? And Mangione is trying to make the case that they did need a warrant and they didn't get one, and so that search was unlawful. But to me, as a layman, I look and I'm like, well, this guy is suspected in executing a guy on the street.
Right.
If he's got a bag, I sort of want the cops to be able to check the bag before getting a warrant. Right.
Right, but it's very...
But he was cuffed, so like,
yes.
Was he a danger? Should they have... I don't know.
Well, think of it this way. It's very fact-specific.
Hmm.
So you will find cases where someone, like, you know, the Davis case came out not too long ago, where someone is arrested, they're on the ground, prone position, they're cuffed, they're not going anywhere, they're surrounded by police. The backpack or whatever it is, you know, 50 yards away. Do you need a warrant for that backpack? Yes. Go get a warrant for that backpack.
Right.
But you will see other cases where you might have someone pulled out of a car, pulled away from a table at McDonald's, whatever it is. They're handcuffed and the backpack is basically 6 feet away. Is that going to pass constitutional muster? Most likely, yes, depending upon the case. Like you said, if this was a case of someone in a mass murder that, you know, is wanted and there's good information that he was the shooter, sure, okay. If there's something else where, you know, it's something that was not a violent crime, perhaps a drug crime, is there really going to be some type of weapon in the bag? It's all so fact specific.
Yeah. There's so much other evidence in the Mangione case.
Yeah.
Does it really matter? I mean,
well, it does matter because, you know, the federal prosecutors are going to want to put every piece of evidence they have out in front of that jury. And the defense is going to want to, and rightfully so, challenge every piece of evidence because, you know, as you know, it was only within a couple of months after this happened that Attorney General Pam Bondi declared this to be
right.
a death penalty
death
case.
Penalty, yeah.
So the defense, and rightfully so, they're going to challenge everything, and the prosecution is going to want as much evidence coming in as possible.
When you look at this type of hearing, this type of argument, is this pretty common in a capital case or in any case where a defense attorney would be like, all right, let's try to poke some holes in the way the evidence was obtained?
In any case, when you have any type of search that's not done pursuant to a search warrant, you're going to get many challenges. Now, most of the time, searches are upheld. I mean, under all sorts of things, search incidents to arrest, inventory search, like when they impound a car and they have to search it, all different types, exigent circumstances, mm-hmm. when there's an emergency type of exception. So there are a number of exceptions. But yes, this is quite common. You dispute whether or not Miranda should have been read earlier, whether or not there was a violation of Miranda, whether there was a Fourth Amendment violation, unconstitutional search. All of these types of challenges are quite common.
When discussing Mangione, we have to mention the public's unusually positive response to an alleged murderer. As 1010 Winds noted, a manifesto criticizing the insurance industry was found in that backpack. Many have expressed sympathy with the struggles outlined in the manifesto, and news outlets have covered what Rolling Stone has termed Mangione's fervent supporters. Some reports even claim that the young man has been swamped with marriage proposals. Chad Hartman, also of WCCO in Minneapolis, discuss the Mangione fandom and the public's negative view of the insurance industry this week.
So then we get to the phenomenon that is still out there that, let me be clear, is indefensible and gross. Those who continue to express their love and admiration for a man who murdered someone. Yep, he murdered Brian Thompson, the chief executive of United Health, and of course, from this area. I understand that United Health and the other insurance giants in our country, Dave, make obscene money. And it's not right. There is something wrong with our insurance system. There are a lot of things wrong with our insurance system. But when folks are about to face dramatic increases in the next month or so, and you read about fill in the blank, including United Healthcare, where how many billions did they make this quarter? Or what percentage increase is there? And then you have, I don't know, in our country, how many stories do we have? We have hundreds of thousands, millions, let's be honest, it's millions of inexplicable stories where someone was denied coverage, and to most of us, if we have a drop of empathy and compassion, you know what it is? It's cruel. It doesn't make any sense. Every one of us probably has some story to various levels. I mean, the health issues that Lindsay faces, I just mentioned Q. Everybody has their stories. I just, like I've talked before about my insomnia, one pill that helps me to some level where most nights if I don't take it, I struggle beyond mightily, and I've been taking it for years. I just found out from our insurance here, we're not going to cover it. Nothing's changed. I've been taking it for years.
Just because.
Just because. And right now, if I pay for it, it's like a $35 situation.
You're lucky.
If I don't pay for it, it's about $450. Right? And that's for a 30-day split. Now, magnify that by 10, 20, 30, 40 times. And as of right now, and all of this can change, in a second, I'm in a position right now financially where I can afford that, and I pretty much can't sleep without it. So I'm going to try to appeal again, but I'm going to pay for it, or else the 3-4 hours a night I get will turn into 1 or 2. And listen, that's the number one health issue I face, is sleep. But we have people who get denied medications that without those medications, they don't live. Or the quality of their life becomes so inferior. And so I get it. And it's one thing to talk about it in the broad range, but when you're living it, it's awful. But none of that in any way justifies a cold-blooded murder of the chief executive. Zero. None of it. And so here we have him in court, and the Wall Street Journal reminds us an online fundraising campaign has raised $1.4 million for this guy.
We'll be keeping an eye on updates to these two cases, so stay tuned. Thank you so much for listening to this True Crime Roundup from the On Deadline podcast. This episode was written and produced by me, Lauren Berry. Special thanks to Jason DeRusha and Chad Hartman of WCCO News Talk in Minneapolis, to Marty Griffin of KDKA Radio in Pittsburgh, and to 1010 Winds in New York. You can find these true crime roundups by subscribing to the On Deadline podcast, the Who Killed Strawberry podcast, or the Bitter Academia podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.